point is metta, loving kindness, and developing that as a daily practice of wishing others well. Now, in Buddhist psychology, one of the most basic techniques is the replacement technique, which means if you have a very negative emotion, by cultivating its opposite or bringing its opposite to mind, you can reduce its power or completely replace it altogether. So the opposite of anger, hatred, is loving kindness and compassion. So if you can create and sustain the power of loving kindness in your mind, one, the likelihood of anger arising is reduced, and secondly, when anger does arrive, you have something which is very powerful, a replacement for it. So we've had the sila, the conduct, and the emotion, the samadhi side. Wisdom side is reflecting, looking into the nature of anger. And the major mistake people make here, and something to be very aware of, is don't think that because you're angry, then you're a bad person. Don't create this bad person out of bad habits. This is a sort of fundamental mistake, and what leads to all kinds of guilt. Shame and guilt are not the same thing. Shame is a wise and useful emotion. Guilt is completely worthless, and it will just make a lot of unnecessary suffering in your mind. And guilt is always based on this idea of you. I should be this way. I should be this kind of person. I shouldn't be that kind of person. I'm a bad person that I did this. It's not necessary to think in that way. That's just a habit. It's just it's very, very strong in Western culture. And you've been living in the West. You may see how incredibly powerful this whole sort of guilt way of looking at life is. But it's a cultural, social creation. It's a condition, and it's not necessary. And it's not necessary to being moral or being good either. People think if you don't feel guilty when you do something bad, then you just do it all the time. Well, that's not at all the case if you're following Buddha's path. So wisdom here means not creating this person, me, who's an angry person, who's bad because he gets angry. And it means using the thinking mind also to look at the pros and the cons of getting angry. You know, what do you get out of it? Long run. Okay, short run, short term, you get this feeling, you know, you just got that off your chest, you feel good. Okay, that's probably a positive result, you could say. But at the same time, how has that increased the chance for a long-term resolution of the problem? Perhaps it's just going to make the problem even worse, and then that person will want to vent with you, and then things really get out of hand, can even become violent. A really good particular technique and strategy, if you have an iPod or a MP3 player or a recording function, then when you get really angry, just go into your room and then just let it all out. Not to a person, but to your MP3 player. And then when you feel better, then play it back and see what it sounded like. A sense of humor is very helpful. If you play it back, you may well find it's quite funny. Also, if you're really angry, you know, just imagine, just stand in front of a mirror and just imagine you're telling that person what you feel about them, and I think you can find that's very funny also. So sense of humour is not sort of a Dhamma teaching that you find in Patrankidok very much, but I would say from personal experience, a lot of defilements and a lot of stuff is built on this kind of sense of being very important. What I want is very important. My status, my standing in my peer group, in my society is so, you take yourself so seriously. And a sense of humour and being able to laugh at yourself sometime, or at very least just smile at yourself sometimes, is a really good way of dealing with that. So if we go on to the more profound practices of vipassana, this is the way you completely uproot things like anger so that they completely disappear and never come back again. I mean, to at least acknowledge that this is possible, even if you're a long way away from there. But when the mind is very peaceful with samadhi and you start to look at the nature of the body and mind, you begin to see the way that all phenomena, including negative emotions, are conditioned, that they don't have any kind of essence to them, that they arise and they pass away according to causes and conditions. And it's the insight into the causal nature of all mental physical phenomena with the mind strengthened by samadhi, which can completely remove anger altogether. Okay, so sila, samadhi, banya, all together, one package, holistic approach to negative emotions. So that's a kind of a long answer, I know, but I think very important. I hope that makes sense. So I've actually dealt with some part of the second question here is why do we feel self-doubt or guilt, and how should we deal with these feelings? Well, guilt I've just spoken about. Self-doubt, well, doubt is not always a bad thing. You know, that self-confidence is greatly promoted. You know, you should be confident, and all this kind of thing. Yes, but there needs to be a certain amount of self-doubt as well. I read a paper some time ago on the disastrous consequences of self-belief in American society, and they were going through all, like for instance, the invasion of Iraq. How much money, how many people died, so on and so forth, and they had absolutely no plans for what they were going to do after they'd conquered Iraq. They just thought it would all sort of work out by itself. It's absolutely stunning, the lack of planning. We have all these brilliant people and all this money and the most powerful country in the world and the most incompetent, imaginable kinds of conduct, whether it's in the financial world or in the military world, and this is incredible sense of self-confidence that we're right and we're the best and so on. So I don't think self-doubt is necessarily a bad thing every now and again. You say, is this really right? And that kind of humility that can save a lot of lives and a lot of problems. Okay, next question.